This is the 2020 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. Here's Chris Loffrey with today's top legislative news in Pierre.
Deb Soholt is a state senator and represents District 14, which is Minnehaha County. She and I had this conversation ahead of the start of the 2020 legislative session. Senator Deb Soholt, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. And here we go again with the 2020 legislative session.
That's right. And we're just about to get that underway because we're just a couple of hours away from Governor Kristi Noem's State of the State address, which pretty much marks the beginning of session. Are you going to be listening for anything in particular?
Well, I think, we see so much preview about what's happening, but I'm listening to her further vision for the state in thinking about strengthening our families and how we're going to really tackle some protracted problems such as the opioid and meth issues and the suicide rate in the state of South Dakota. But I think also a continuation of what she talked about in the budget address in December in relationship to, you know, where we're at in our ongoing revenues because of what's happened with agriculture, pricing markets, and also all the things we've been dealing with the disasters and flooding within the state of South Dakota. That's really taken a hit to our revenues. And so it's going to be very challenging for us in this session to really meet our statutory obligations in relationship to public funding.
Help us understand your world, if you will, just a little bit more. And what I really truly mean by that is what can the governor say that could possibly maybe change how you go about your everyday as a state senator?
Well, I think, you know, I'm going to be listening for openings of possibility to think about things differently. And one of the areas where she's already really opened herself up is the issue of legislating what we're going to do with hemp in the state of South Dakota and CBD oils and, you know, all those kinds of issues. And previously, she had been a hard line, absolutely not. It's not going to happen in the state of South Dakota. And now we've had some signaling in her recent press releases that she's willing to look at negotiating. So I think what I'm looking for is negotiation in relationship to what she has set out in her budget address, and then also what she's saying are her priorities in her state of the state address. Now, this is our time for the legislature because the budget is in our hands. And so the priorities that are going to be set for the state of South Dakota come from the legislature. Of course, we want to work in concert with the governor because we're a stronger state if the executive branch, the legislative branch are working together.
Once she delivers that state of the state address, it's pretty much nose to the grindstone, get to work time, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, we just have to really roll up our sleeves and get to work. And I think this is my eighth year as a state senator. And I think the thing people ask, what was the most surprising thing to you? I think what has been the most surprising is the hours you put in and the long days when you're in the legislative session. And so, people think, certainly there's lots of social events and other things, but those are also for a purpose to be in touch with the constituencies, different groups that are coming into Pierre every night, but really to do the work of understanding all of these bills and the policies that are coming and being prepped for committee meetings and all of those kinds of things to be able to take an informed vote requires a lot of study and understanding. And most importantly, talking to other legislators about their intent and meaning. So I don't like to take legislation just at face value and say, okay, I'm going to form an opinion just based on what I read. Legislators bring bills for a reason. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always interested in what motivates you. What are we trying to solve in the state of South Dakota? How will this be better for our people?
So you're telling us, Senator Soholt, that a state senator is not 8 to 5? There's more to that?
Oh, no. No, actually, it's more like 4 a.m. till 11 at night. And so that's why we tempers get short and we get a little bedraggled by the end of session.
Sure. You just mentioned that this is your eighth year in the Senate. So we're going to talk about change a little bit. One of the more obvious changes this year, perhaps, is capital security. How has that transition seemed to go so far?
You know, that's really just beginning. So I don't have a lot of comment on that because actually today is the first day that we're going to be using it. Mm. When we came in for the budget address, we didn't have to go through the security system. I think in this day and age, it's really a good idea that we do have some security measures. I love that our building is public access and that it's the people's house. I mean, our state capital belongs to the people of South Dakota. But it also is important that we assure that we have safety. And I think just in this, trends and patterns in culture and shifting in the whole United States of America just really behooves us to assure the safety of not only the executive branch and the legislators that are working in the building, but all of the staff around those efforts, as well as the public.
Let's get into some other possible changes besides this year's security at the Capitol that you've seen, as I'm sure there are changes of sorts every year. Can you recall some changes that that stick out to you over the past 8 years?
You know, I think one of the things that's so interesting when you start to look at trending and patterns is even when we do a massive change, such as the education funding reform that I had the opportunity to co-lead 3 years ago, that led to a significant infusion in dollars for teacher pay, that continues to be just an ongoing problem. And, you know, when you look at about 50%, if you look at a dollar, 50% would go into funding K through 12 or technical schools or higher education. And I think it's just always going to be such a tension in how we fund and set our priorities, because there's just, you know, multiple things we do in trying to assure that the public policy parameters are funded in the state of South Dakota. I think we're seeing changes in, you know, just the whole mental health issue. We'll probably get into that a little bit more when we talk about summer studies, but just the mental health of our people, the stressors that people are under, what we're seeing in relationship to a disconnection for folks and, you know, chemical dependencies and mental health issues and the number one suicide rate per capita. That starts talking about a trend of people feeling not as connected with what is happening, you know, within their community and, you know, how they fit within the state and how they fit within their neighborhoods. So certainly have seen a change with those increases happening over time. And then also we're just having a big change this year in the legislature on, we have gone to 100% automated bill system. And all of the legislators are kind of struggling to figure it out. And I mean, it's not that hard. It's just a significant change in how we get our work done. And we're going to see some interesting things happen because of that, because like sponsors can come onto a bill or go off of a bill at like any time they want to electronically. And that's going to be something new. We've, you know, usually when you sign onto a bill, you're signed onto a bill. So at the end of the day, if a bill is moving through and it's starting to gain traction and a lot of popularity, then if other legislators want to hop on, they can do that. Or if it's having a lot of controversy, it'll be interesting to see who sticks with a bill and then who hops off. So that's a big change for us. But I think there's just some constants in South Dakota, you know, just trying to create economic development, have it be a place where people want to live, a safe place, and a place where people can prosper.
Can you touch on, if you will, you said automated. What exactly does that mean?
Well, everything is online now, where before we would, we've been online for a long time where you have a printed bill, but right now it's all electronic. How we submit the bill, how we sign up the bill, that all happens electronically. Whereas before you would get a piece of paper, it's called jacketing the bill. You would go and get signatures, you would get it jacketed, you would submit it to the front desk. It was a very tangible hands-on process. Now that's all going to happen in real time. Amendments that happen on bills will be online. So to the public, it's going to look like we're looking at our computers a lot, because we are, because that's where absolutely all of our work is going to reside. We won't be having things, you know, certainly going to print a bill, you know, once it's submitted, if you want to have that in front of you in hand. But the changes will all be moving real time through the system. What is great about it creates an incredible transparency for the public. You know, we've been partway there, but now we are the full way in how we submit bills through the Legislative Research Council, how we get signatures. That's different for us. Instead of talking to our colleagues about our bill and looking at them face to face, you're sending them an email and asking them to sign on to your bill. So there's still certainly the face-to-face and trying to explain it, but it feels so significantly different. It's a good change, I think. It's just something we're all going to have to adjust to.
If you're just joining us on In the Moment, our guest is Deb Soholt. She's a state senator, represents District 14, which is Minnehaha County. She's getting set with her colleagues to get to work here shortly as the 2020 legislative session gets underway following Governor Kristi Noem's state address here in just a couple of hours. Let's get into the 2019 interim, where you chaired a committee investigating how the state can leverage telehealth and telemedicine with respect to access to mental health services. What came from that, that we can expect to see this session?
Well, thank you for that question, because it's really been interesting work. And it was on the heels of a 2018 summer study that I chaired on mental health access overall. And we could see if we really wanted to create a transformation within the state of South Dakota, which is entirely possible in mental health services access, then we needed to have five more groups that met during the 2019 interim. They were a group to look at acute care hospitalization, really specifically looking at the Human Services Center and how many people end up going down to Yankton that are, it's about 300 people a year that stay 5 days or less, and looking at how we can embed those folks regionally instead of moving them out of community and having them go down to the Human Services Center. We're looking at a triage center type concept of if someone needed some support for 2 to 3 days to restabilize on their meds, to sort out where to go, setting that up in relationship to the community-based mental health centers. That was another group led by Senator Alan Solano. I led a group on telehealth access in relationship to how do we virtually leverage the experts that we need in any place and space within the state of South Dakota, and particularly in crisis response. Because we found out in Minnehaha County that if you can bring in a crisis de-escalation team, then 90% of the people never have to leave home. They are able to talk through what's going on. They don't go to jail. They don't go to a hospital. And they get a 24-hour follow-up response to make sure they're connecting back to community-based resources. There was another group looking at long-term care in that how do cognitive behavior change that lead to mental health-type symptoms. Those folks end up down at the Human Services Center in a nursing home situation, and we're looking at changing that trajectory, which will require us to do some work in the nursing homes to help the staff and provide more supports for, you know, Alzheimer's and dementia, cognitive decline type patients. And then also we had a group looking at community-based resources, and you're going to see a resolution, for instance, on peer-to-peer support for mental health issues, for chronic mental health. What I'm excited about in this is, and you're going to see a lot of bills around this work, I think, I'm not going to get the number quite right, but there's like 8 or 9 bills coming forward, and maybe 10, in relationship to setting a runway for all of this work to happen. So on the virtual side, we have to be able to have qualified mental health professionals, be able to do virtual assessments. We have to be able to get payment. We have to be able to meet an emergency standard. Like if you were in a ambulance going to a house, it's like a virtual ambulance coming in for a mental health crisis. So you're going to see a lot of legislation around those task forces. Then we have to really work our, you know, it's not done. Then we have to really set a people-to-people infrastructure and provide this support and change how we manage care in the state of South Dakota. So I think it's a really exciting time because we are committed to seeing this through and having something happen, not just have a summer study that goes nowhere.
Am I correct in saying that you're the chair of the Health and Human Services Committee this year as well?
Yes, I am. Yep. I've had the privilege to chair that. I think this is my fifth year. I don't know. I lose track of the years. I chaired Senate Education for a while, and it's been a real privilege to chair health.
So what are some issues you expect to see before that committee?
Well, one of the things that's going to happen right out of the gate is that on Friday in our meeting, the Department of Social Services and Health and Human Services secretaries are coming, and they are rolling out a significant trajectory plan for our suicide issue in the state of South Dakota. So that is just going to be hot off the press. And if people want to listen to that committee meeting, that's happening Friday morning at 10. And then we will have, you know, multiple issues of import that matter to legislators that, you know, they're tweaking around health issues. And we're also going to see legislation in relationship to assuring that health professionals within the state of South Dakota are functioning to the top of their licensure. And one of the bills that I am bringing is the Certified Registered Nurse Anesthetist, which helped to provide anesthesia and pain management control in all corners of our state, right now require a supervisory physician. And the problem is we don't have medical doctors of anesthesia in all corners of our state. This legislation won't affect Sioux Falls or Rapid City or Yankton, you know, our larger population centers that have medical directors of anesthesia. But it will really help to provide the legal platform for CRNAs to function to their full role. For instance, podiatrists and dental offices are interested in having registered nurse anesthetists help them to do safety in anesthesia services for outpatient procedures. And yet they don't feel qualified to supervise a CRNA because they don't know that world. So we're really going to be bringing our law in South Dakota in concert with what's happening in the nation. And we'll see other bills like that too, that create a pathway for health professionals to do their best work.
Senator Deb Soholt, you keep coming back to the legislative session. What drives you to do this work?
Well, it's just an incredible privilege to be a legislator in the state of South Dakota. I love that we're a citizen legislature and we're not professional legislators, because that means we are, you know, shopping in the grocery store and sitting in the church pew and working side by side with the people that we're trying to create policy for. And that really helps to keep it real. And to be able to be in a space where you can bring the right people together. That's what being a legislator does, is you can bring people into a conversation and then really try to wrap your arms around solving protracted problems. And I've just really so enjoyed the work and have just really been honored to represent District 14 in the state.
Deb Soholt is a state senator and represents District 14, which is Minnehaha County. She and her colleagues are set to work at the 2020 legislative session gets underway in just a couple of hours, officially following Governor Kristi Noem's State of the State address. Senator Soholt, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for it today.
Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate all that public broadcasting does to bring these issues in the forefront of everyone. This is your legislature. I would encourage everyone to get involved.
During the State of the State address, Governor Kristi Noem announced plans to travel to the White House while President Trump signs a trade agreement with China. She's bringing a South Dakota pork producer and a soybean producer. Noem says it was a tough year for agriculture in South Dakota, and this new agreement will help create opportunities for the state's ag products. She says biofuel is another opportunity for growth in the industry.
Over the next 10 years, private industry, South Dakota State University, the School of Mines and Technology, and the state will partner to support research and development of bioprocessing. We must invest in the future of ag in our state, diversifying operations for our farmers, our ranchers, and our timber producers.
Noem says focus on biofuels will give students a deeper understanding of how product can drive change across the globe. South Dakota is the pheasant capital of the world. Governor Kristi Noem has taken actions to ensure the population stays high, including a bounty program through game, fish, and parks. Hunters were paid to bring in the tails from animals that are predators to the bird. During the State of the State address, Noem says she hopes to keep the state a premier hunting destination.
With neighboring states trying to steal away our hunters, I'm calling on all of us to recognize this threat and to join me in doing what it takes to improve and to expand our habitat. We need to continue to focus on CRP efforts. We trapped 50,000 predators this last year. And hopefully, more people will find ways to participate in the Second Century Initiative. Though our efforts have just begun, I'm hearing from people all over the state that birds are more plentiful.
Noem says that hunting, trapping, and shooting are part of the state's culture. She says the traditions help kids develop a respect for nature and hopes to bring hunting safety programs into more schools across the state. Governor Kristi Noem says South Dakota is open for business. The governor highlighted expansion of high-speed internet services during the State of the State address Tuesday afternoon. She also outlined additional steps she wants to take this year to make South Dakota even more attractive to businesses. SDPB's Jackie Hendry has more.
To illustrate the importance of high-speed internet to small businesses, Governor Noem points to the Linderman family. As owners of the only grocery store in Timber Lake, 40 miles from the next grocery store, Noem explains they struggled without access to high-speed internet.
For them, that meant that they couldn't provide their customers with credit card, debit card, WIC, or EBT payment options. They even had to do all their orders for the store from somewhere else.
But after state and federal programs brought $25 million to expand internet services last year, Noem says the Lindermans are among more than 6,000 families who now have high-speed access.
We want to create an environment where people aren't forced to choose between the modern economy on one hand and life in their hometowns on the other.
But broadband isn't the only barrier to business. This year, Governor Noem is looking to improve housing options by opening the state's Ready Fund to support workforce housing projects.
Having suitable housing is economic progress. I'm confident that opening up this fund will get developers to invest in communities where additional housing units are the most needed.
The governor also discussed occupational licensing reform, retaining the state's graduates, and the upcoming South Dakota Week of Work. The inaugural program will give high school students a chance to explore job opportunities in their local communities. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Jackie Hendry.
Governor Kristi Noem recognized the service of six law enforcement officers with the newly created Governor's Award for Heroism. Two officers from Sturgis were recognized for rescuing a tenant from a burning residence, and four officers who rescued the survivors of a plane crash in Chamberlain last November. Governor Noem says she created the award to recognize acts of bravery in South Dakota.
Going forward, a person who shows courage and compassion under extraordinary circumstances, such as those that have saved a life, will be eligible for nomination. In this way, we're recognizing our citizens' courage and bravery.
Noem says it's easy to take law enforcement officers and other first responders for granted, and this award is a way to recognize their service.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2020 Statehouse podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free SD.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the people's business and peer. Be sure to connect with us on social media by liking the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, Missouri River Energy Services, and Touchstone Energy Cooperative. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.